prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Thursday, November 13th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
And is it chilly down there in Dallas?
Yeah, it is for this. We're certainly in fall, maybe in early winter, you might say. It's down into the 40s down here, at least at night. And that's just the last few days. First time. Up until then, we've had our 80-degree days.
Well, I was surprised that polar vortex was coming all the way down to Dallas.
Just to see us.
Just to see you.
Yeah.
How about that? Well... Mm-hmm. It was a little chilly in the gold market today. Not too bad, though. I don't think it was a polar vortex in the gold market today, but we're showing a little bit of to the downside in gold, down about $1.20 on the New York spot aftermarket, 1161. You have silver down 06 at 1571, along with platinum down 8 at 1199. And palladium is down 7 at 770. And let's move it on over to the USDX today, down 0.07 at 87.75. Crude oil got battered once again today, down 2.52% at 74.66. And the paper markets today, you know, they were up a little bit on the day, but didn't do a whole lot. You have the Dow up 40 points at 17,652. And you have the NASDAQ up 5 at 4680. The S&P up 1 at 2039. And you have the 10-year yield down 0.01 at 2.35%. And the big news on Wall Street anyway was all about Walmart. You know, they released their numbers, and they really weren't that good. And they weren't expecting a good fourth quarter, and their last numbers weren't that good, the third quarter. And yet, Walmart also ended at a new high. So I guess that's good news.
What's up is down, and what's down is up. Black is white, and red is yellow, and I don't know.
Purple is blue, and
the whole place has become surreal, meaning it is illogical, irrational. You look at things and you see things and they're there, but, you know, trying to make sense of them, trying to make logical sense, for example, of silver that's in the $15 range. Now, I don't care what anyone says. You're not going to convince me that there's a rational reason for silver to be $15 and change right now. It may be, you know, maybe there's a rational reason, but I don't get it. I don't see it. I can't imagine it. For me, this is just surreal. We're looking at you buy low, you sell high. And when you buy low, everyone agrees that there's no chance that it's going up. Everyone agrees it's got to go down. You're buying low. Sell high, and that's fundamental formula to, for making profit in investments. I just can't get past the idea silver is just incredibly low and irrationally low. That tells me this is a, you know,
well,
this
I
is
mean,
a buy low moment, or at least very close to it. I'm not saying the silver can't go lower, but it can't rationally go lower, in my opinion.
You could also say the same thing about gold. I mean,
well,
yes,
I understand,
we're still, but it, you know, maybe not quite to the, you know, I mean, considering
silver is just stupid. I mean, gold is incomprehensible on one level, but silver is beyond being just incomprehensible. This is just stupid, you know, $15 silver.
Yeah, especially when demand has been so strong. That's what really makes it stupid. Now, is this stupid or not? Americans are quitting their jobs at the fastest pace since early 2008, and that's supposed to be good news for the economy because they expect, these economists say that if people are quitting their jobs, it means that they're more confident in finding a new job.
Well, maybe they're more confident in finding welfare.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
I mean, the way things are working out, I've seen reports where they compare how much money you can make in different states by being on welfare. Out in Hawaii, you can get up to $60,000 a year on welfare.
Hawaii?
Yeah, take advantage.
And then
yeah, I don't know how expensive it is out in Hawaii, but still, I think I could make it out there on $60,000 a year.
Try.
Huh? I may have to start doing this program from the beach, Melody.
Hey, there's grass skirts and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sounds
bit of a
fire hazard.
I might
join you out there.
$60,000 a year.
Well,
you work now? I don't have a job. I just talk on radio. That's all.
So they're actually looking, thinking that this is a great sign that Americans are voluntarily quitting. About 2.8 million people quit their jobs in September. I wonder the reason people are quitting. They're saying that their confidence is stronger, that they can get jobs that pay more and so forth. I wonder if they're not getting notices because these corporations had to comply with Obamacare and maybe some of their benefits are taken away. And now they're going to go look for maybe something that provides benefits, you know, for their health care and so forth. I don't know.
I think it could be one of those things. They're just spinning it, and they're saying, oh, this is a positive sign. Somebody just set fire to the garage. Say, this is a good thing because this means we're going to get a free car from the insurance company. I don't know. You know, you can. Is the glass half empty?
You can find all kinds of things, but you can't forget about Obamacare, and you can't forget, it's going to have an impact on employees, and their hours are going to be cut. Because these corporations have to comply by 2015, and you're going to start seeing more and more people lose their benefits. They're going to start getting their new rates for their health care, the ones that signed up last year. And, you know, I've read where prices are going higher. It's considerably higher. I've seen numbers 4.5% to 5% higher on health care. And, you know, hey, everybody talks about lower gasoline prices, but is that enough to offset higher health prices? So, I mean, just how much is this consumer going to be spending of those lower gasoline prices? And I don't think they're going to be spending that much of it because it's going to go to other things. It's not discretionary income. It's not disposable income that they're going to be using for the gasoline. October budget deficit, that increased to $121 billion. Now, get this, it's because it's reflecting calendar shifts. The federal government started the new budget with a higher deficit in October than a year ago. But the increase reflected a quirk in the calendar.
A quirk.
A quirk.
Uh-huh.
I thought there was only so many days in the calendar rather than a deterioration. Oh, no, it's not a deterioration in the government's budget outlook. The deficit last month was $121 billion, up $31 billion from a year ago. And but the deterioration that the government had to send out $41 billion in November benefit payments in October, because November 1st fell on Saturday. Now, you talk about grabbing for straws.
Yeah, I understand that.
You know.
Then they had to send that out on October 1st rather than when?
November 1st.
They on November 1st yeah. rather than when?
The payment was November 1st because November 1st fell on a Saturday. They actually sent it out the last day of October.
So they added, so they had an extra $41 billion in November. That should have been $41 billion less for October. Shouldn't that work out to be good thing rather than a bad thing? November's not done yet.
You're adding the payment that was due for November 1st into October instead of
I had a
so the fourth quarter. So
I had I had suffered from a quirk, Melody.
It is awfully quirky.
Yeah, I know.
That's not twerking. We're not twerking.
Keep talking happy talk.
We're not twerking, right?
Oh, my God.
And the oil took another deep tumble today, as I mentioned earlier. It's unlikely that the OPEC members will cut production to stop the plunge in the prices. It's entering its fifth mark. I guess it's down about 30% now since late June, and its lowest level since September of 2010. And global supplies are ample, and demand for crude is weak. And there is a meeting later this month, the OPEC members, and they're not going to cut production in an effort to stem the drop in prices. So we definitely could see much lower prices in oil.
I've seen people talk about $50 barrels of oil.
Mm-hmm.
I've also seen people that contend what's going on here is that the United States is working with at least some of the OPEC nations. They're intentionally holding the price of oil down in order to give Russia more trouble than it can handle. Russia can't, they depend on the sale of their crude oil and their petroleum products in order to support their economy. And when the price falls in half, that's what we're, that's if someone was correct, if the $50 number was correct, and again, it's one of those things like, good God.
Well, certainly Russia is the big country that we look at as far as having a major impact, but there's also a lot of other countries too. You know, Venezuela, you're going to have, I mean, all your oil producing countries that are part of OPEC, and they want the Saudis to, you know, bring it to a stop. They don't want to lose anymore because it's hurting them. So, yeah,
you know,
I can't believe
in a situation right now where a lot of countries are apparently, at least some countries, are caught in a situation where they are selling their crude oil for less than the cost of producing it.
U.S.
And that can't continue for long. But that doesn't describe Saudi Arabia, so far as I understand.
No, they can
it does describe some countries. It may describe the United States.
It certainly does.
One of the questions here, one of the things that interests me about this, is how did the oil industry get into this predicament? You would think that the oil industry has economists who can study their market, and they can make reasonable predictions as to what the demand is going to be, the global demand is going to be for this quarter, for example, and what the production, how much oil is going to be online for production in this quarter. And they should be able to make credible predictions as to whether or not they should produce more oil, produce less oil, what should they be doing. Whatever we're seeing right now, if it's simply a question of supply and demand, if that's all there is here, and the price of oil's fallen from 105 down to less than, what, 70, down to 60s?
No,
what was it today?
Yet. 75.
All right, 75. From 100, so it's still $30 off.
Well, it started at 107.
How is it that the industry didn't anticipate this? And it doesn't appear that they did. And now that they see it, they're going to just ride it out anyway and say, well, we'll give, I'll show them, I'm going to, I'm, you know, that's like saying, I'll show them, I'm going to give my gold away for $100 an ounce. How about that? Then they'll be sorry. No, they won't. Nobody's going to be sorry. I mean, none of this is more. There's something else going on here. People claim they're going to lose market share. What sense does it make to fight about market share if you're losing money? I mean, who wants market share if the cost of maintaining market share is you go broke?
I don't think the Saudis will ever go broke, but they certainly They certainly, well, they don't care about other nations. They just care about themselves. And, maybe they feel they have to lose a little now in order to save in the future. The only thing that they can't depend, the only thing that they wouldn't be able to anticipate is a big drop in demand suddenly. Or maybe they were fed, who knows what's going on in these world markets, but I don't think they'd be able to anticipate a huge drop in demand.
I would say that they couldn't miss a huge drop. They might not be able to predict a small drop, but the drop that we've apparently had, it should have been predictable. All right? It should have been sensed. It's like a tsunami coming across the ocean. There's ways of picking this up if you care to look for it. And you should have an idea, time to get off the beach because there's something coming our way. They didn't do that. We've had a big, big, big correction. And yet it was apparently unperceived. This either indicates that some of the best economists in the world, maybe all of them, they don't really know what's going on. And they can't anticipate anything. Or there's a different reason for the price of oil falling the way it has. And it's not just supply and demand. There are other factors at work where it's been being intentionally dropped.
Absolutely.
To achieve results completely different from what,
That's what I believe.
Supply and demand.
I believe the prices are absolutely being dropped intentionally.
Most
of the discussions that I hear in the articles that I read and what I interpret is you will see $90 oil once again.
Sure.
We'll wait and see how. I mean, the paper is in there trading. The paper trades are in there shorting the heck out of it. So, people are making billions of dollars while the price of crude is going down also. So let's not forget about that. And
there were reports, there was almost a persistent conspiracy theory a decade ago that big oil companies were almost running the world. They had so much power, they could cause wars and one thing another. How is it that big oil companies, if they're running the world, are allowing their product to lose 30% of its price over the course of the last several months? It indicates that those original conspiracy theories were false, or the world has changed, and today the world is run by bankers rather than oil producers. I don't know what it means exactly, but it's another one of those things that's odd, odd, odd. I mean, even if they no longer run the world, assuming they ever did, even if that's no longer true, they should have enough influence to protect themselves, and they should have enough brains to protect themselves. What they're doing right now, Melody, is as foolish as you putting on a sale for gold coins for $500 an ounce.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? It's crazy. Huh? And yet,
but I certainly would get rid of a lot of my competitors.
Yeah, and you'd probably get rid of yourself, too.
Well, no, it depends on how much I could afford to lose, because it wouldn't take very long. Are you kidding? If I sell gold at $500, most of my competitors would be out of business in, a month? They wouldn't get any business whatsoever. 2 months? It would put a big damper on them. So,
there's something else going on here besides mm-hmm. supply and demand. That's the point on this. This is not just, it's not just rational, not just logical in the superficial sense
personally,
of supply and demand. This is,
I think everybody is playing each other. They're out there grasping because it is the last desperate attempt to position and to keep what you do have instead of losing everything. And I think they all speak with forked tongue, and if you have the Saudis that are going along with the U.S. to lower the price in order to hurt Russia, well, you know, it's benefiting them also because it's also hurting the U.S. So, you know, and any other competitor that they care about. So who knows what little agreements are made in the back rooms for these things to affect the markets that they do. And it just confirms how rigged these markets are.
And it also confirms, for those of us who believe that the truth will out,
yes,
it confirms that the system is fragile and headed for
yes.
a collapse.
Exactly.
I'm going to argue that you can't continue to manipulate the markets forever. It can't be done. Can't be sustained. Nobody's smart enough. Nobody's got enough power. Can't be done indefinitely. And
reality strikes.
And that reality comes in the form of commercials.
Yes, it does.
We have to listen to commercials now while Melody and I take a break. And we'll be right back in just a couple of moments. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here in Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next?
Well, in your area, Alfred, Dallas, president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, plans to retire March 19th. Richard Fisher. He was always a hawk. Because of his concern that the Fed's policy favoring the low interest rates would trigger inflation. But he has descended this year when the central bank's policymaking committee voted to continue planning to keep short-term rates low, at a record low for a considerable time. But he was scheduled to retire anyway. Janet Yellen. She said the Federal Reserve needs a better understanding of global financial markets. She says they need to understand how economic developments in other nations may affect the U.S. economy. She said this today in a meeting in Washington. She says they need to have better insights into things such as global capital flows to achieve its domestic objectives of maximum employment and price stability. Fulfilling these objectives requires to achieve a deep understanding of how evolving developments in financial markets and economies around the world affect the U.S. economy. And the U.S. policy actions affect financial developments overseas. Welcome to the New World Order.
Well, if she needs to understand these things, just tell her to list the financial survival and we will explain it to her.
And she's supposed to provide the confidence the markets need.
See, again, we talked about it during one of the breaks or before the program. I mean, it's just laughable. Here we have the chairman of the Federal Reserve essentially saying, we need to figure out what the heck is going on here because we don't know. We need to study this stuff and try to figure it out. I don't know what she meant entirely by her comments, but for me, they're consistent with something I've been trying to advance on the program for, I don't know, a couple of weeks anyway. The idea that with the U.S. dollar index, at least, we've got the dollar on one side, and we've got six currencies on the other side. The major one is euro, and the secondary one is the Japanese yen, and the third one is the British pound. Euro is 57% of the U.S. dollar index, and the point is that those six currencies sit on the other end of a teeter-totter, and we got the United States on the opposite end. We got the United States dollar on the opposite end, those six currencies on the other end. And when those currencies go into inflation, a teeter-totter effect, the dollar tends toward deflation. And likewise, when the dollar goes into inflation, those currencies tend toward deflation. It is the nature of the U.S. dollar index. Huh? And I'm not sure that that's what she's talking about, but it may be. And there's no free lunch. That's what it comes down to. If the European Union is going to inflate their currency, and they are, and if the Bank of Japan is going to inflate the yen, and they are, then it follows that the dollar is going to increase in purchasing power as measured on the U.S. dollar index. This is just mathematics. This isn't even calculus. You understand? This is just add and subtract. It's not all that complex. And we can't let them inflate without us experiencing some tendency at least toward deflation. I'm not going to say that we go into deflation, but we are getting closer to it. When they inflate, we get closer to deflation. When we inflate, they get closer to deflation, and their economies grind down, slow down. So
they will continue to seesaw. But yeah. I got a question, and I just checked my emails, and I've got several comments that came in. This is from Murray. He says, in an interview at the Council of Foreign Relations, Alan Greenspan had stated that gold and silver are the ultimate forms of currency. With regard to that statement, then can we conclude that a fiat dollar is actually a derivative of gold, or is it just a debt construct of the Fed?
I'd say it's absolutely not a derivative of gold because government has done their level best to keep, to disassociate with gold since 1971. They've tried to minimize, obfuscate, conceal, deny, manipulate whatever relationship exists between the dollar and gold, and they've tried to minimize that association and remove it from people's minds. We don't tend to see the price of gold as evidence of the value of the dollar, perhaps to the same degree we did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago for sure. We still do. But not to the same extent, in my opinion. So are they trying to is there a relationship that the government will admit between gold and dollars? You know, only as a commodity, not as a money. But Greenspan is saying, no, it's money. Mm-hmm. He's saying it's that he is arguing, no, the relationship is still there. As much as the government tries to hide it and conceal it, it's still there. And he's arguing that gold is a better currency. He used the word currency, which I think is, you know, my perspective is mistaken. Currency for me is fiat, and money is real, tangible. But nevertheless, he said gold is a real, is a much better currency than fiat dollars. And, you know, you can't beat it in the long run. You can't beat it. And that's coming from Alan Greenspan, who you would expect, if only out of being politically correct, he wouldn't have made that statement. But it was a telling admission where, you know, get your gold while you can.
Alan Greenspan has always been a believer of gold. It's only when he became, you know, the chairman over so many years and you know, that he started working for the government did he, you know, suddenly turn a blind eye to mm-hmm. the fundamentals
reality.
Of gold and created what is going on today. He was the, you know, really the architect. Yeah, of today.
Yeah.
So,
and now that the system is starting to fail.
Mm-hmm. Now he's
out there essentially cleaning his own record.
Yep.
Trying to rewrite history and say, well, we were never really in control. The government is the one who's running it. We just do what they tell us.
Yeah, he's coming out.
I don't know.
And he knew what was going on all along. He knew what gold and silver is, but, you know, his make sure, you know, to elude that his hands were tied. But Murray has another question here.
He was just following orders. Melody.
Yes. Should the American people.
That Eichmann defense going on there.
Should the American people be saving, spending, and/or investing in these derivatives, debt notes, or should they be using real gold and silver? Are our currency laws then applicable to gold and silver? And what if one doesn't want to participate in derivatives? Do legal tender laws only compel paper fiat use, or can we use gold and silver as an alternative?
I think you should be saving as much as you can under the circumstances that are here today, in part because I believe there's going to be a serious economic decline. I could be mistaken, but that's my belief. If I am correct about that, it means that it's going to be very hard to borrow money in the context of an economic depression. It means without credit, without borrowing, I mean, if your MasterCard doesn't work and your Visa doesn't work, what's going to happen to consumption in this this economy? It's just not going to be there to a significant degree. That means there's going to be less jobs, less profits, less tax revenues for the government. Everything goes south on this if we slide into an economic decline, into an economic depression. I'm inclined to think we're going to do that. If I'm correct, cash will be king during that Great Depression, during this next depression. If you have any, you're going to be able to make some fabulous buys. You're going to be able to buy homes at a fraction of the price of what they cost right now. Be able to buy cars, right? If you have savings. Now, first thing you want to do is save like your life depended on it, in my opinion, because maybe it will. Then second, you have to make up a decision in what medium do you want to save your wealth. Now, you can save it in derivatives. I mean, that's like buying lottery tickets. That, for me, that makes just about as much sense as buying lottery tickets. I'm going to go down and buy myself $250,000 worth of lottery tickets to preserve my wealth. Well, I might get lucky. I admit, you might get lucky. You buy $250,000 worth of lottery tickets. Who knows? Maybe you'll win something. But still, the odds are against you. It's not a sensible buy. You certainly don't want derivatives. Do you want paper dollars? I don't think so, and we'll get into that in a moment here. We've got some news for people with bank deposits. There's going to be a change in how they'll be treated. And starting perhaps as early as next week, at least laws will begin to be considered as early as next week to adjust to this change. My perspective on all of this is the debt can't be paid. First principle, debt can't be paid. That means the paper debt instruments are going to turn out to be substantially worthless.
All right, maybe 80%, maybe 90% of the paper debt instruments are going to be worthless, but I don't know when. But the debt can't be paid. And I'm talking about the national debt. And you throw on the rest of it, and as soon as you realize the debt can't be paid, you know that the correlative paper debt instruments are going to lose most of their value. Most of them. There'll be some exceptions, but most of them are going to lose most of their value. For me, this is fundamental. This is the pole star. You know, and I look at this and I say, what does that mean? It means I don't want to store any wealth in the form of paper. I'm not derivatives, not dollars, not euros. I don't care. I don't want digital wealth. I don't want paper wealth. I know this is going to go south. It might be 10 years before it goes south. It might happen before the end of this year. I can't tell you when, but I have no doubt that the paper debt instruments are going to prove to be primarily worthless. Some of them will be okay. Majority will not. Given that, now I'm looking. Now I know I want to save number one. I don't want to save in a paper format. So number three, what am I going to do? What's my number three choice? I'm looking for a tangible form to preserve my wealth. I don't know how high an IQ do you need to make a choice on this, Melody. You can get into farmland if you care to. You can get into, you know, guns and bullets and a bunch of other things. There are certain tangible alternatives that might not do you a bad idea, but it's the idea of gold and silver, especially at current prices. And I know prices might fall. They might still fall a little more, but regardless, from my perspective, you know, grab all you can while you can.
You know what I've probably heard most of all, and particularly with the price of gold and silver dropping, and, you know, people have said that they remember when Bob Chapman was on the program, and he would say, you don't worry about the price of gold and silver. You just buy. I've heard that probably 100 times, you know, since we've seen the last big drops in gold and particularly silver. So, and that's true. You just buy. You can't worry about the price because what other options are there? And Al, you just
what other rational
much,
options?
You just
are
described
there?
There aren't any.
That's
there
problem.
Truly aren't
this.
Any.
You're living in a madhouse,
yes.
A financial and economic nut house.
Yep.
That's where we are right now. Try to make sense of it all. The whole thing is, I was listening to another guy talk about this the other day. He said all the indicators are hedonic. I didn't even know what the word meant.
It is.
But it means you can't count on any of them. They're all illusory. None of the numbers are real anymore.
Mm-mm.
It's all adjusted. It's a house of, you know, it's irrational, it's surreal, it's illogical, and people accept it. They say, "Yeah, but there it is." You know, it's
hey, the
you
stock
can say
market.
It's irrational,
yeah,
but still it's
high.
Happening.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but the question is, how long is it going to happen? If you are smart and you understand how surreal things work, and you're not troubled by living in an illogical world, well, you can jump in and you can invest in some paper debt instrument today and get out of it next week. And if you're smart and if you're right, if your instincts are correct or your knowledge is correct, you can make a profit. I get that. Mm-hmm. But you can't buy those paper debt instruments and sit on them with the expectation you're going to hold them for the next 5 years. You just can't do it. That's stupid. You want to get in and out, speculate? All right, go ahead. You can profit if you're smart and you're slick and you're lucky. But you want to buy paper and hold it for what, 5 years? 10 years? And think you're going to make a profit off of that? You must be getting your drugs at the same place as Janet Yellen, you know, because I just can't imagine how that's going to possibly work out for your benefit. If you want to protect your wealth for a couple of years down the road, you're going to look at gold and silver. We're going to take a break for some more commercial announcements, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what's likely to happen to bank deposits, at least some of them, in the very near future. Please stay tuned. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by
Discount gold and silver, 1-800. What's the number
come
again,
on,
Melody?
Come on. Come on.
I'll tell you when we come back. I'll tell you when we come back. Discount gold and silver. We'll be right back.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. And what we wanted to get to, had an article a few days ago from Bill Holter. I don't think we talked about it. I'd clipped it and pasted it and wanted to get to it. We didn't. But he was warning that there was a G20 meeting in Brisbane, Australia, that convenes this weekend.
And we talked about it last week.
Did we?
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall clearly.
Yes.
That stuff kind of runs at you like a waterfall. I can't. The point is, he's warning that big changes might come in the context of that meeting. It turns out we've got a report today from theexaminer.com. It says bank deposits will soon no longer be considered money, but paper investments. That's the headline. Now, this only applies to bank accounts that have over $250,000 in it. This is at first glance, this sounds more dramatic than perhaps it is, but still, the article says this weekend, G20 nations will convene in Brisbane, Australia, to conclude a week of Asian festivities that began in Beijing for the developed countries and major economies, and on Sunday, the biggest deal of the week will be made as the G20 formally announce new banking rules that are expected to send shockwaves to anyone holding a checking, savings, or money market account in a financial institution. On November 16th, 3 days from today, The G20 will implement a new policy that makes bank deposits on par with paper investments, subjecting account holders to declines that one might experience from holding a stock or other security when the next financial banking crisis occurs. Additionally, all member nations of the G20 will immediately submit and pass legislation that will fulfill this program. Immediately. All right? This is going to happen. You can expect the legislation. If we can believe this report, we can expect legislation perhaps before the end of this month that's going to implement this program in the United States. This is creating a new paradigm where banks no longer recognize your deposits as money, but as liabilities and securitized capital owned and controlled by the bank or institution. Right? In essence, the Cyprus template of 2011 will be fully implemented in every major economy and place bank depositors as the primary instrument of the next bailouts when the next crisis occurs. All right? It's going to be a bail-in. The bank gets into trouble. Guess what? They're going to take your money. Now, that's if you have an account over $250,000. I don't expect that to apply to a lot of people. It'll apply to a few people. It apparently also applies to corporations. Got a bank account over $250,000 in it? Guess what? You are now insuring the bank. And in the event that the bank becomes insolvent, the bank's just going to help itself to what you had previously regarded as your funds. For most Americans with savings or checking accounts in federally insured banks, normal FDIC rules on deposit insurance are still in play. But anyone with over $250,000 in one account or held offshore will have their money automatically subject to bankruptcy disbursements from the courts based on a much lower rank of priority and much lower percentage of return. This also includes business accounts, money market accounts, and any depository investments such as certificates of deposit. You got a CD? Over $250,000 or a collection of CDs? It could be that you are now insuring the bank. You're insuring the bank's retirement rather than your own. Now, what makes this sudden push to securitize cash held in bank deposits? What makes it interesting and perhaps dangerous is the pending question of whether central banks or sovereign governments know that a crisis is forthcoming. And it seems to me virtually certain that they do. They understand? They're telling us. They've got all the G20 nations, the top 20 economies, basically, at least in the Western world. I'm not sure. Does the G20 include China, Melody?
No. I don't know. So? I don't recall the G20.
I don't know. But in any case, it's just the biggest. It's basically the biggest economies in the world. They're all acting in unison to, at the same time, declare that anybody who's got more than $250,000 in his bank account is subject to having that money confiscated by the bank if there's a bank crisis.
It does.
Does include China.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's fine. How can you get all of these nations to act together unless they see something like a common threat and a common probability? If they don't see that there is a looming crisis, and if they don't see that it's likely, it's hard to imagine that they see a looming crisis. They're saying, you know, this could happen maybe in 2018, you know, 2016 at the earliest. I don't think so. If that were the case, some of these nations would drag their heels and say, well, you people can impose those silly regulations, but we're not going to do it. We're going to keep things just the way they are in our country. They're all working in unison on this, and that almost certainly implies that they are all being frightened by the same forces. All of which means to me, at least, that there are people out there you know, there might not be a lot of individuals who have bank deposits of more than $250,000, but there may be a lot of businesses that do. And however many individuals or corporations routinely carry more than $250,000 in their bank accounts, those depositors are now vulnerable to losing their substantial deposits in the event of bank insolvencies or failures. The newfound vulnerability should motivate many of those bank depositors to seek an alternative means to store their wealth. Some will choose to move their wealth greater than $250,000 to another bank. All right, they'll have one account in one bank and one in another. Maybe they had $500,000 in one account, and they said, let's divide it up. We'll put $250,000 in the bank number one and another $250,000 in bank number two. Some of them will look for foreign accounts where perhaps they feel, you know, less risk. But some of them are going to choose to move their wealth from paper debt instruments that are deposited into conventional bank accounts are going to say, look, I'm going to put my wealth into something tangible. Some of them are going to buy gold. Some of them are going to buy silver and just say, let's get a safe, put the safe in the wall, put the safe in the basement, hide it, conceal it, do what we have to do. I'm going to put the money in the safe instead of risking it in the bank. This is almost extraordinary information. And it's the sort of thing that they have to know. This can't just be a casual thing. Well, you know, we're bankers, we're sensible, we're prudent. Let's make this provide just in case something happens 10 years from now. They can't be doing that right now. They have to know that this change is going to inspire people to think that there is an imminent banking crisis, or there is likely to be an imminent banking crisis, and they are anticipating something's going to happen 6 months, 2 months. I don't know when, but this implies something imminent is in the wind, and it should make anyone who is reasonable and prudent sit back and say, okay, yeah, I get it. I don't have $250,000 in the bank. All right. I'm insured by the FDIC. But the banks are changing the rules in anticipation of a banking crisis.
And the FDIC wouldn't have enough money to cover all those accounts.
Four or five banks
during
as far as they go.
A crisis.
That's the problem.
You know what's interesting, Al? It wasn't that long ago, a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, where after 2008, corporations had an unlimited amount that they could store in the bank that was covered by the FDIC. And it was, a year ago that they dropped it to $250,000. They brought it back and put limits on it. Plus, we had those laws in July that passed about overseas accounts. So, when you look at all this different legislation, it's like it's leading up to this. They're setting it all up.
Yeah.
Because they knew exactly what they need to do and when they need to do it. And they need to pass all these other laws so they can accomplish something like this. And my question is, if you have some of that cash that's going to be a liability, can you still have the fractional reserve apply to, can they loan out on those liabilities?
Well, they can spin money out of thin air.
I mean, you bring in $1 in deposit and you loan out, what, 9 or 10 plus.
Yep.
So can you do that now that that deposit is a liability?
It's a good question, and in a reasonable world, the answer would perhaps be no. But in this world, Melody, this is like Alice in Wonderland. You understand, a lot of strange things happen here. And they are going to continue to happen, you know, as long as we stay down the rabbit hole. We've been going down the rabbit hole for quite a while. I think that's going to, you know, this is just another one of those leaves in the breeze. And it tells people who are prudent, look, this is time to protect yourself. And you can sit back and you can argue that, you know, the price of gold, I don't want to buy it right now because I think it might fall further. And you're right, it might
might go down deeper, fall further down. But how much longer do you want to run this risk? Can you wait until the very last day or hour before the banking crisis takes place? If there's going to be one, we don't know that for an absolute fact, but we see indications. Are you smart enough to pull to time your sale of or your purchase of gold to the day before? And how much are you going to gain? You know, you risk losing a lot, maybe everything. If we're going to have these bank crises, what they're really saying here to me when I stop to think about it, if you've got $250,000 in your bank account, you can afford a lawyer to sue the bank. If the bank folds up and becomes insolvent, the people with $250,000 in their bank account, they're the ones that are going to tangle the banks up in lawsuits that may last for the next 5 years. The rest of the small fry who've got $10,000 in their account, well, if they lose it, they lose it. The FDIC supposedly guarantees it, but if the FDIC goes broke, they're just, you know, out of luck. Do they have attorneys? Will they have attorneys? Well, they might have class action lawsuits and one thing and another. But still, you can almost look at this as a way of saying, it's the law. You rich folks aren't going to be able to sue us, bankers. And the rest of you people, your money disappears to bed. This is an extraordinary event going to take place this weekend. They are going to try to implement the laws in all 20 countries. If we can believe the report I'm reading from the Examiner, if the report is accurate, they're going to try to implement the laws in all G20 countries in just the next matter of weeks. But before the end of this year, you can pretty much assume that's the way this will work out. This is warning us. Time to start paying attention. You know, we've talked about it on the program the last few days. Things have become so extraordinarily volatile, unstable. Dow drops below 16,000 and then bounces back up to over 17,000. Gold has taken a dive. Dollar is rising like a helium balloon. None of this stuff makes sense.
It's all because our economy is so strong. We're beating all the world economies are the headlines, and it's kind of like the, you know, the...
It's just one irrational thing after another, and that's part of the reason why you have to anticipate. This level of instability, in my opinion, can't continue for a long time. Somebody's got to stabilize this system, and very soon, or something is going to break. And I've said that over the course of the last, 10 days, couple of times, words to that effect. I think that's accurate. I think that's an accurate opinion. If they stabilize, fine, we can sustain the system for a while longer. If they don't stabilize, we are in jeopardy. We are at the edge of one of these things where it's the equivalent of riding on the Titanic. We'll take a look. We're taking a ride on the Titanic. Uh-oh, here comes an iceberg. Are we going to hit it, or will we kind of slide on by? Maybe we're going to slide on by this next iceberg, but it does appear that there's an iceberg coming. We're going to get close. Good idea to protect yourself. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day, and pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Money, money, money. Rich man's world.
Money, 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 always sunny in a rich man's world.